Hello everyone! Começa agora mais um Melhore Seu Inglês Podcast, que é o podcast de dicas de inglês da professora Erika e do professor Newton Rocha, do canal do YouTube Erika Newton Inglês por Skype.
Para quem estiver interessado em aulas de inglês por Skype, focadas em conversação a preços acessíveis, basta entrar em contato conosco.
Ok, eu sou o professor Newton e...
Eu sou a professora Erika.
Very good! Nessa semana a gente vai começar o Melhore Seu Inglês Podcast, que vai ser mais uma conversa toda em inglês com algumas... Vou falar algumas explicações em português para algumas palavras, mas é mais para a gente treinar, para vocês treinarem o listening do inglês, ok? So, it's starting now the Melhore Seu Inglês Podcast, and... Today, we're going to start with the series. We have watched a new series now.
We finished Vikings,
yes.
Because we thought we had finished, but we hadn't. Vikings season 4. We had watched only the first 10 episodes available,
yes,
on Netflix.
Yes.
We found out that we were not done.
Yeah.
And
we watched it from episode 11 to 10. For the people...
To 20.
For the people that are watching the Vikings in Netflix, you have to be careful because in Netflix, season 4 is only up to episode 10. So you will have to get by torrent, by downloading in sites if you want to watch the rest episodes from 11 to 20, maybe in the next month and soon they will show up in Netflix. But it's excellent. The saga of Ragnar and his sons, the Viking saga. It's very good. The ending was amazing. Was very good. It was according to the history of Ragnar, the sagas that were based in the movie. I really enjoyed. What do you think?
I enjoyed it too. I thought it was very sad, super, mm-hmm, super sad towards the end.
All right.
I think I'm going to miss someone.
Yeah. many characters went away, will never come back. But let's hope we have a season 5.
Oh, and there are new characters, right? Because
lots of new characters.
But there is one.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the focus is on Ragnar's children.
Yeah.
And one of his children is really interesting. Ivar, right? Ivar is... I don't know if he's the youngest. Don't remember. No, he's not. But... he becomes really important.
Yes. He becomes really important. His other sons also rise to prominence. It's very interesting the development, the beginnings of the English, the of British islands with the Vikings arriving, so it's very good, very good. I recommend.
And also their interaction with Ragnar's brother Rollo, right? Rollo,
mm-hmm.
He is a character, but also I don't know how closely related to the real story he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very interesting character too.
Yes, he changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is very nice from the Vikings series. The characters change a lot. There's a lot of action, there's a lot of mysticism, mythology, Nordic mythology, and great character arcs.
Mm-hmm.
So after we finished Vikings, we started watching the Deadwood series, which is a HBO series, very old.
What year? 2000,
yeah.
What?
This is HBO is from...
10? No, just 5.
Yeah, 2004 to 2006 was a TV series by HBO. It got all the prizes possible.
Awards.
Awards and everything. The series
with
by David.
Timothy Oliphant, Ian McShane, Molly Parker.
Yes, Timothy Oliphant, for people that know, a series called
Ian.
Justified, which there is in Netflix. It's an excellent series.
So his name is Ian McShane.
That's Ian McShane, right. Yeah, amazing character, amazing actor.
Very good surprise. You had We've been planning on watching the series for a long time now, and finally we got to do it, to start watching, and it's really delivering what all the hype. It's even better than I expected.
Yes, Deadwood is a Western series. It talks about, it's a show in the late 1800s. It revolves around the characters of Deadwood, South Dakota. It's one of the first cities of the West in the United States. The city. The great thing about the series is that Deadwood was an illegal series, a illegal city that was raised into a town.
Camp. It's a camp, right? It's not even considered a town. It's a camp.
And it was raised in a Sioux territory, so they had no laws. They were there illegally. But they start to create, the town starts to be raised with, and then you can see the beginning of a media, of a press,
the starting of a hospital, the
powerful people, the city is controlled by a very evil character, Al Swearengen, which he is the owner, yes, the owner of a saloon. On the city, and he is very corrupt, and he controls the city completely. Then you have Seth Bullock, which is like the hero of the story. He was an ex-marshal, ex-deputy from another city, right? And he goes to the city, and he is one of the main antagonists of Ian McShane. So which is your favorite character from the series, Ed?
I don't know. I like the doctor. I like Jane, Calamity Jane.
Mm-hmm.
I like her a lot. She she's always drunk, but she is very empathetic. She's very sweet. She has all these sides. She's sensitive. She's been through a lot in her life. But on the other hand, she tries to compensate that to become a strong person, to be a strong person. And to be assertive, so I like her a lot. But I also like the doctor. The doctor is...
The doctor.
Very powerful. That's the only one, the only person in the camp that can really
Doc
treat
Cochran.
People.
Yes, Doc Cochran.
People depend on him if they want to live a little longer. People don't live very long in this camp. Yeah, but there are so many... really nice
Trixie,
characters. Yes.
The prostitute that works for Al Swearengen. She's also a great character.
Yeah,
really nice. Yeah, and I thought that Deadwood's also a series about lawlessness,
mm-hmm.
about moral chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the birth of the United States.
Yeah.
There is two poles in the series. Is like utopia versus war of all against all. It's an amazing series, and the characters are not all, the characters are not fictional, they all live it at one time. The show is, there is a strong language in the show,
mm-hmm.
but it is to portray that the situation there was very hard, was very savage.
To resemble as closely as possible the way people mm-hmm. spoke at that time. It was really different from today. I think it's hard to imagine, even, right? So there are many details of life at that time in those conditions, and these details are unimaginable today. I was surprised with many things, how people were buried and when people died,
it's very realistic portrait of the West,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing what I think. I thought that like these bang stories, these Western stories, they are all full of cliches because there have been so many Western stories. So you already know what's going to happen, and then you think, oh my God, nobody will make something different with the Western genre. And Deadwood going for a more realistic way and a very loose way to do the scripts, he created something new there,
mm-hmm.
something that sounds fresh.
Fresh, original.
Original,
different.
Yeah.
You feel like,
yeah.
oh, I've never seen this before, this
yeah.
kind of scene. Yeah.
The actors are very, they are all good. They got got great actors,
mm-hmm.
and you have the villain, which is amazing, the evil owl, the owner of the bordello of the city. He's
Jim.
Great. Yeah, Jim Bordello, the bordello Jim. He's great. Just to see the villain owl is enough to watch mm-hmm. the Deadwood. So this is the recommendation. And talking about Deadwood, we discovered some Old West expressions. We're gonna read some for you here. It's like these are idioms from Deadwood, like from the time of Deadwood in the 1800s in the West after the Civil War in the United States. There were some idioms, some idiomatic expressions that come from this time, which is very interesting. So we're gonna read some of them here. For example,
this one, at sea. I've listened to this being recently discussed in one of the podcasts about language. At sea, someone asked it. This is an old expression, and this
at sea.
At sea. Sea means no mar.
Mm-hmm.
And it means to be at a loss, to not understand something, to not comprehend something. An example would be, when it comes to understanding women, boys, I am at sea. So this is a guy.
I really don't understand.
Yeah,
I really don't understand anything.
Completely at a loss.
Yeah. Another one that I like is a hog killing time. Hog killing time. Hog is pig. It's the same as pig or leitão, as we say in Brazil, the hog. A hog killing time is a time to kill the pigs, time to kill a hog, which for these places in the country, in the roça, hog killing time is a very great to say that you're gonna have a real good time. For example, we went to the New Year's Eve dance and had us a hog killing time, which means a great time, and killing pigs, because killing pigs means, oh, we're gonna have a very good dinner or a feast, banquete or a feast now. So hog killing time is very interesting.
Another one would be bang up. Bang up, first rate means first rate, high quality. They did a bang up job.
Very good, bang up job. Bazoo.
Bazoo.
Bazoo is the mouth.
Shut your big bazoo.
Big bazoo. Bazoo, the mouth.
Another word that people were very confused at that time. Another word that means to be confused at a loss is balled up. Balled up.
Balled up.
Yeah, B-A-L-L-E-D, up. Confused.
I'm balled up.
Balled up, yeah.
All right. Other one, the bone orchard. The bone orchard.
Bone orchard, yeah. That's
means orchard is
poetic,
bosque,
poetic
right?
Name.
Yes.
Orchard, yeah.
It's like a garden or something.
Pomar.
Like pomar. Pomar de ossos. It's the cemetery.
Beautiful
it's
image.
The bone orchard.
Yes.
Yeah. Bosh. Bosh means nonsense. So you say, I don't know, this is stupid, this is nonsense. This doesn't make sense. You say bosh, right? This is a bosh. Banco artist is the con man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scoundrel.
A coffee boiler. Coffee boiler is a lazy person. A lazy person. Would rather sit around the coffee pot than help.
coffee boiler. Yes, o fervedor de café, coffee boiler. Very good. You have a croaker, que é o coachador. A croaker is a pessimist or a doomsayer. Don't be such an old croaker. Like, don't be a coachador. You, this is when you say somebody is very pessimistic and only say bad things, for
yeah.
example. We have other one here is dude.
So this is an old
dude.
Dude. Yeah.
Dude is very, very old, but on that time it was an Easterner.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone with upstale town clothes, almofadinha is a dude. It's a guy with upstale town clothes, very nice clothes, and rather than plain range riding or work clothes. So the almofadinha is the dude. Today became cara, right?
Yeah.
But it was dude.
A word that, because it's so close to Mexico, they had many words coming from Spanish, like dinero.
Dinero. Do you have some dinero?
Dinero. Give me
hombre.
Some dinero.
Bad hombre.
So,
right?
A word for money.
Very nice. And we have fandango. Fandango,
word
which,
from Spanish.
Yeah, it's a big party with lots of dancing and excitement. You have fork over. Fork over, match o garfo, fork over, which means pay out. You need to pay out. We have a goner. Oh, he's a goner. He's a goner. Goner means lost. He's dead. He's a goner.
What about grand? Grand. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Beautiful. All the Christmas decorations look just grand.
Yeah, it looks just grand. Here's how. Here's how is a toast, such as here's to your health. Here is to your health. So when you're going to make a toast, you have a beer, you say, here's how. You say like this.
Hubble your lip. Hubble your lip. Lip labio. Shut up. Another term, another expression to tell a person to shut up.
Very nice. Very nice. Mud seal. Mud seal is a low life, a throughout disreputable person. A mud seal. It's very a namby-pamby. Namby-pamby means some sickly, sentimental, saccharine, something that is very sweet.
Namby-pamby.
Yes, açucarado. You say namby-pamby.
Odd stick. Odd stick is an eccentric person. An eccentric person.
A strange stick. Stick é bastão, um pedaço de pau. An odd stick.
Odd stick.
So old Farmer John's sure is an odd stick. You know? So there are many other. Pass the buck. Pass the buck means to, you know, escape, evade responsibility. When you don't want to, oh, he doesn't want to take responsibility for that crime. He passed the buck, for example, right? We have many others, very, very funny.
See, elephant, what does that mean? Originally meant to see combat for the first time, later came to mean going to town. Where all the action was.
Oh, I'm going to see the elephant. Means I'm going to the bordellos, meet the prostitutes, for example, or having a good time in a saloon.
Or
I'm going to see the elephant.
Yeah.
Yes, so going to see the elephant. We have many others. One here, for example, to beat the Dutch. To beat the Dutch means to beat the band. It was raining to beat the Dutch, means it was raining so hard, so very, very hard, right? Tweak used to mean understand, right? Tie to, amarrar, tie to means to rely, to trust. Oh, he's a man you can tie to. He's a man you can trust, right? And to finish, wind up, let's is to settle, to close. Let's wind up this business and go home. So let's wind up these expressions of dead wood. These are old bang bang expressions and wind up. Let's wind up these expressions. Also, you are taking some Coursera courses, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Coursera, just tell us what is this Coursera thing.
Coursera is an online... it's a site which
it's an online university course for free for
yeah,
everybody
it's not
in the world.
It offers access to different courses from offered by different universities about different topics, most of them in English.
Yes, we talk about Coursera a lot if you want to learn English by yourself
Coursera,
and practice.
Coursera.
Go to the site.
Go to the site. I really recommend it. You can watch videos of lectures with very good professors. And also they have transcripts for most of the lectures, if not all. So it's really good English practice. What I did this week is I finished the course Moralities of Everyday Life.
Did you like this course?
With Professor Bloom
from
Yale, offered by Yale University. It was really good. It was very good. It was introductory. That's the point. Coursera offers courses that introduces people to different different subjects and areas. So it was very interesting.
So this was a morality course.
It's a course
about right and wrong.
Yeah. So this was week 4 already. And there were some cool insights, things I had never thought about. For example, this week he talked about religion, finally. So one of the things he said, most people in the world, including university professors, scientists, doctors, they all have a religion. It's like 97% of the world population have a religion. It's very rare to find someone who is an agnostic or atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks a little bit about studies that suggest that religion has a positive effect on people and a negative effect on countries. That was something interesting that he said. It can be that religion can make you a nicer person because there is someone watching you. So he talked about the eyes.
So when someone is watching you, you
yeah.
tend to behave better.
You tend to behave better.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is something interesting. Because people are obsessed with reputation.
Oh, okay.
And communities, let's see here. According to the studies described in the course, religion might influence morality because believing someone is watching you makes you act more morally. Attending communal gatherings at church, for example, makes you more charitable. And religions contain explicit moral prohibitions. So
oh, okay.
this is why. And then
so makes people behave better if they don't have a religion. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But why the religion is good for people but is bad for countries? Why they are bad for countries?
He doesn't go very deep, or maybe I didn't read the
because maybe it creates problems between two countries and motivate wars, like in Israel and Palestine.
Yeah,
and
I think he means like individually.
Mm-hmm.
In an individual basis,
individual point
it
of
has
view,
a positive
mm-hmm.
effect. But when you have a group of people, then
mm-hmm.
it's a little difficult because then you have the group dynamics,
stereotyping,
and then things go a little
overboard.
Yeah, overboard and out of control and crazy
okay.
and fanatical.
You become more tribal.
Tribal, yes, and people start to act in an irrational way and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
I believe that's why. And then he talks about the moral circles. So what he calls circles is how you act morally, you and your family, you and your neighbors, you and your people
around you,
live in the same country, etc.
Mm.
The morality of group preference, how we treat people morally differently according to these circles.
Right.
So the closer people are to you, you tend to treat them in a certain way. The farther from you, you treat in another way. And what groups matter? What groups matter to us in terms of morality?
Mm-hmm.
It talks about stereotypes, the importance of stereotypes, and the problems and the importance. And economic games. It talks
about why stereotypes are important.
Stereotypes are important because they kind of
simplify
guard you.
Them.
Yeah, they simplify. So it depends on how you use this idea of stereotypes. They can be harmful and they can be
protective.
They can
be good or
yeah,
or
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, criticisms of economic games. How do you naturally respond to strangers?
Mm.
This is a good question. How do you naturally respond to strangers?
Okay, do you respond in a good way or in a bad way?
Yeah, for example, that was he showed a video. This doesn't have much. Yeah, in the video, it is very horrid.
Very horrifying. It's horrifying.
Yeah. It was a camera filming a street, it's an avenue with two ways, one going away from the camera
mm-hmm.
and the other lane with cars coming this way. There was a man trying to cross the street, and he was in the middle of the street. A car passed right through him, ran over him, atropelou ele, né? So he flew, the camera filmed everything. He flew in the air and fell on the ground.
Oh my God.
There were people walking on the sidewalks. There were cars coming by. Nobody stopped.
Nobody stopped.
Nobody
no.
stopped. The man was lying on the asphalt there. And nobody stopped because people tend to do what other people do. If people keep walking and do nothing, you will do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if you see other people doing
something,
if you see
one going
help,
there,
yeah, some people, not just one, but if you see a group, you tend to do what these people are doing, and then you go there to either watch or help or something like that.
So our behavior is very social.
Yeah,
also
social.
It's influenced by other people.
Yes, yes. It talks about the problem of kindness. Weird societies, do you know what weird societies are? WEIRD is an acronym for Western Educated Industrialized Rich Democracies. Because most of these psychological tests or polls, etc., are done with these groups.
Okay.
So this can be a problem because it can be, it can show just how these people behave.
How our civilization.
It doesn't represent everybody in the world, right? So yeah, people tend to do things because of where they are, not who they are.
Okay.
So the environment has a huge effect on how
on,
people
on the
behave.
Behavior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Hume, he reminded us of what Hume said. We are slaves to our passions. He says that too. We tend to
follow our
emotions more than our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So morality as part of our nature, skepticism about the self. What is the self, if the self exists or not, and free will, he talks about free will at the end, at the very end, and the situation, and then there is a conclusion. So that was the end, a 6-week course, and I was very excited to start a new course. It's about art. I didn't know it was going to be this way. It is, I thought it was just going to be lectures about
What's the title
artists.
Of this course
for people
that want to
this one is in the studio, in the studio, post-war abstract painting. So,
so it's in a Coursera.
Coursera,
and if
yes.
you want, it's for free.
Yeah.
You go there,
yeah.
you log in,
uh-huh.
and you can enter into this
register.
Course.
You don't even
register.
Have to wait for the course to start. You can start watching the lectures anytime.
The lectures are in video.
They are
you
available.
Can watch anytime you want.
They are available. You can do that.
Mm.
So this one is in the studio, and it's really in the studio. It's an educator that works at MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, those people who work at museums and
yeah.
they get these groups of people and walk around showing
yeah.
the paintings the and explaining things. So that's what he does. And he does with a specific group of artists. These they belong to what they call the New York School. The New
okay.
York School was a group of artists that worked at about the same time. In they lived in Greenwich Village. Post-war, around from the 50s and 60s,
good.
So they had some things in common. So he chose the 7 most prominent artists.
All right.
And what he does is he talks about the artist,
mm.
shows the art and the paintings, etc. And he teaches us
he teaches
how
to
do
it.
How to do it.
How to get the brushes,
yeah.
the pens, the paints.
Yeah,
and
the everything, the kinds of paint, and it's very detailed also.
How to make the frames.
How to, yeah, with the stretcher, the canvas.
Mm, how to make the canvas
for
the painting.
Yeah, how to prepare everything for the painting.
That's me, that's interesting.
The different kinds of, the different quality of paint, the different kinds, the different finishes, and things like that. And the first artist was Barnett Newman. I had never heard about him. I fell in love with his work. It's really nice.
The minimalist,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Minimalist painting.
So that's it.
What's the name of the painter?
Barnett, Barnett Newman.
Very
Newman.
Very nice.
Yes.
So that's it for the Coursera of this week.
Yes.
So these are the Coursera courses of this week. So again, if you want to improve your English, if you're listening to our podcast and want to improve your English, this is a great idea. Go to the Coursera website and subscribe into a Coursera course. There are many courses with many topics, and they are
I like
excellent.
Art and you know, humanities, but there are
mathematics, engineering, computing,
physics, computing.
Computers.
Yes, all of these
many
other
tutorials.
Areas.
Yeah, very good. All right, so now for the crazy things of the week. This is a segment in our podcast where we get crazy things that we find on the internet and we bring to you and we comment on it. So the first one is about the emoji movie. Do you know what is the emoji?
No, what is it?
Emoji is those crazy symbols that we have in the WhatsApp, in Zap Zap,
oh.
that we have that everybody's
that.
Using, and it became a universal language because you can use the same emoji.
Would you
in
consider
place.
It a language?
Yeah, some people are considering it a language. Mm-hmm. It's a pictographic language. Mm-hmm. And the curiosity for you guys, the emoji were created, were invented by, this is a Japanese word, although some people say that it's like emotion, an American word, but really, really, the consensus is that emoji is a Japanese word. It started in the in Japan in the 1950s.
Wow.
The newspaper guys in Japan, they got together and created a series of symbols that they used to use on their newspapers. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of the emoji of today comes from this time, the smiley, the many symbols. So the word emoji came from Japan. Mm-hmm. But today is used so much for the those symbols of the WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's talking on the Twitter about the emoji movie, because Hollywood is going to make a emoji, a Sony Pictures is going to make an emoji movie.
Coming out this year.
Yeah, so people are baffled, even upset by the sheer existence of the emoji movie.
Why?
Oh my God, right? So, there is a billboard on the internet showing the emoji movie that will come out on July 28th, right? And on the Twitter, a lot of people reacted about the existence of a movie based on emoji, because so people cannot for the life of them figure out what it's supposed to mean, right? So Matt Sigel in Twitter, he said, "Facepalm, me the popcorn, World Hepatitis Day," so talking about, "slap me at the popcorn calendar," so showing there is a popcorn. The poster is made up by emojis. You have a hand, an open hand. You have emoji movie with the O's becoming smileys. And you have the emoji of a popcorn and a emoji of July 28th. The same
people
as
people are trying to guess, because there is not a consensus on how to interpret the emojis, right?
Yes.
So people interpret in different ways.
So they think that is slap me the popcorn, slap me the, because there is a hand, an open hand, and then me, and then D, and then popcorn, and then July 18th.
Yeah.
So how do you translate this?
I would say hand me. That's
hand
what
me
I see.
The popcorn
hand me,
on July 28th. But some people say that instead of hand is slap me.
If you want to be funny, you can interpret in different ways here.
Terrifying hand monster me the diabetes Friday.
What
so
diabetes? Because of the popcorn.
The popcorn.
If you got diabetes, it's the popcorn.
I don't know.
About that.
No. Okay, all right.
High five,
Matt. High five, Matt.
Eat popcorn
date.
Okay.
All right. So after the trailer was released this week, so you can go on the internet and look for emoji movie trailer, and you will find this trailer, which is an adventure, and the name is an adventure beyond words,
oh,
because it's just emojis. So
this
is the sound of the trailer. Oh my God.
Do they speak?
Yeah.
Or no, it's just we have to guess. Oh.
Manny McAllister?
What should I say?
Just play it cool.
Oh, it's the emoji world.
Everyone is expected to act one way their whole life.
Oh my God.
Ow.
My name is Gene, and I'm supposed to be a meh. You know, like, meh, who cares?
Meh.
Oh my God.
The problem is, I have more than one emotion.
I'm not sure about this movie.
Huh? Oh my God.
Son, please tell me you weren't laughing just now. What if you get sent out on the phone making the wrong thing?
Oh my God.
So, do you like?
Then I would finally fit in.
Yes.
Do you like to use emojis?
Yes, it looks like the movie is about the emoji meh. If you want,
okay.
Meh is the so-so, the emoji so-so. So, it's the story of the emoji so-so.
Do you use them a lot?
Yes, I use it. Everybody uses it. Everybody uses it.
Do you have a favorite one that you use all the time?
Well, I use the thumbs up,
the
okay.
Okay, okay,
the
sign.
The okay sign.
Emoji, uh-huh.
Yeah, and the smiley sign too.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my God. So they say that the Twitter is, emoji is an adventure beyond words. Emoji movies. This is a good line, adventure beyond words, right? So, and then everybody's getting trolled, and Some people say, this is it, this is the end of the world, now that we have an emoji. So, that's it. So, this is one of the first crazy things of this week, is the emoji movie. Now, let's see another one about a curiosity that we discovered. Do you know?
I didn't know. Those things, these are vegetables. And we use them in salads and pizzas and things like that. I'm not a good cook. Pimentões. In English, they're called bell peppers. And they come in three colors, yellow, green, and red. Did you know that they are not completely separate kinds of peppers?
No!
No. They're just at different stages of development.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's
so,
it.
So the yellow pepper, the green pepper, and the red pepper, they are the same pepper.
Yeah, same pepper.
They're just like a green, they are very green, and then they are
yellow
different stages.
And actually sometimes when you find them in the markets, you can see that some of them are kind of green and red at the same time.
Oh, okay, so they are transforming.
Transforming, yes.
All right, what the hell, man. So, they are different styles. Okay,
styles.
So, first they start green, they go to
yellow. And then red.
And then red. Oh, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right, and now to finish the crazy stuff of the week is about some questions, some crazy questions on Yahoo. Right? So, one example of crazy questions, Yahoo Questions is a site where you go and you put some questions, people give you answers, and this starts with a lot of funny stuff that we can see there.
One of the questions is, what is a person from London called?
My neighbor is from London and he's called Rob. Which means, the true sentence is, Londonian. Right?
A Londoner.
Very good. So, another question. Are you dumb? Are you dumb means are you stupid?
Are they asking Google?
Yes,
or
very
are they
good.
These questions?
Another question. How drunk would SpongeBob be if I used him to clean up the bottle of whiskey that busted on my floor? Huh?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. Yeah. You get SpongeBob and there is some whiskey on the floor and you dry with SpongeBob.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. All right. Another question.
Is it illegal to kill an ant? Ant. A-N-T. Okay?
All right.
Amiga.
So then the guy explained it. Today I was walking down the street and there was an ant on a puppy. So I stepped on the ant and killed it. A police officer gave me a very dirty look,
and so did a lot of other people around.
So I was wondering, is it illegal to kill an ant? Because the ant was over the puppy, and I step on it and I kill it? I'm super serious. This isn't a joke. And then the answer was...
You stepped on a dog. I stepped on a dog.
All right. Do dolphins have nipples? You know, because they are mammalians, right?
Excuse me? I have no idea.
All right. So that's it. And now for the word of the day. Word of the day. And today we have the idiom of the day is...
A question of time. It means you can say it's only a question of time before saying what you think will happen in the future. It's only a question of time. For example, it's only a question of time until we run out of oil. So we're going to need other forms of energy to power our cars. Another example, if you keep on spending money like this, it will just be a question of time before you have a serious debt problem. So this idiom is almost always used with the word only or with the word just, as in it's only a question of time before blah 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 happens, or it's just a question of time.
Very nice. Now for the slang of the day, I brought here, we have a very funny word, which is... cookie. C Cookie means strange or eccentric. This is a slang of the day. It's a cookie, something that's strange or eccentric. And for example, I love cookie characters like that crazy French detective in the Pink Panther movies. So cookie is a little crazy, doidinho. Do you have one of those cookie old aunts who lives with lots of cats and wears floral patterned dresses with shoes and socks? So do you have, everybody has a cookie aunt, right? Do you have a cookie aunt?
I do have a cookie aunt.
And so this slang term is typically used in American English, but can also be found in other varieties of English too.
And this cookie is K-O-O-K-Y. Okay? K-O-O-K-Y.
Yes, and another very funny slang, this is a new word that come up this week, it's called Trumpagedon.
Trumpagedon.
What is Trumpagedon in America?
Havoc, hysteria, fear created by a single individual and his or her cohorts who have the wealth, position, and power to instill agendas based in greed through endless, unexpected atrocities and horrors upon the innocence of an unknowing and unprepared world. So, within months of the regime's rise to power and influence, world populations began to realize each day forward was leading all peoples and nations closer and closer to Trumpagedon.
Armageddon. President Trump.
Trumpageddon. Okay.
Another one is galleries.
Galleries
with G-A-L-O-R-I-E-S. Galleries. Galleries are calories consumed during activities with your girlfriends. Example, girls' night out, wine during a pedicure, eating McDonald's at 2 a.m., shit-faced, that generally are not part of your diet, but you eat them anyway. And men, the opposite of galleries is Pauleries. Pauls means friends. This is for men.
Yeah.
When you go out with your male friends.
A chum.
So,
a mate.
Yeah. So what are the examples we have here?
Girl, I've gained so much weight even though I'm using Herbalife. It's all them galleries you've been eating in addition to your diet.
This is galleries.
Galleries.
To finish this part is a phrasal verb of the day is to?
To set out. Set out has many different meanings. So this one here is to explain the details of something, especially in writing. For example, to set out something. A contract should clearly set out the responsibilities of each party. Another example, to set something out. The terms of service section on the website sets the conditions out for getting a refund.
Right, set out, explain the detail,
yes.
Especially in
writing.
Mm-hmm. And the saying of the day? The saying of the day that is a saying is a ditado popular, a saying is death pays all debts. Death pays all debts. Which means that the possible interpretation is dying cancels everything, including anything that owe to other people. So note, death is a noun, the act of dying, the end of life. Death noun is death with capital letter in the beginning, is a personification of the force that destroys life. Debt is something, for example, money, that is owed or due. So if death pays, an example, right? If death pays all debts is true, when we die, all our bills are canceled for eternity,
mm-hmm.
Right? Cancel yes, our bills are canceled for eternity.
Yes.
Yeah, so death pays
no worries.
All debts.
Don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, very nice. So now let's take a look here with the grammar tip, the grammar of the day. It's a courtesy of Oxford Dictionaries.
Yes. So ending sentences with prepositions. Were you taught that a preposition should never be placed at the end of a sentence? There are times when it would be rather awkward to organize a sentence in a way that would avoid doing this. For example, in some passive expressions. If you say, the dress had not even been paid for, that's fine. But paid for the dress had not even been is crazy. Totally wrong. Another example, the match was rained off. That's okay. Rained off was the match. That's a crazy sentence. That's wrong. In relative clauses and questions that include verbs with linked adverbs or prepositions, this is also true. So, what did you put that there for? What did you put that there for? This is okay. But, for what reason did you put that there? This is wrong. Another example. They must be convinced of the commitment they are taking on. This is correct. But, of the commitment they are taking on, they must be convinced. That's Yoda talking, right?
Yeah, that's crazy syntax.
That's wrong. There's no necessity to ban prepositions from the end of sentences. Ending a sentence with a preposition is a perfectly natural part of the structure of modern English.
Very good, very good. And now we're going to take a look at the brain pickings of the day. Brain Pickings is a great site it's a site of with a lot of good texts from Maria Popova, and she reads a lot of books and she talks to many philosophers, and this site is always about something for you to think about. It's like one of the best self-help sites on the internet because she gets self-help ideas from many different sources, and she puts together these into beautiful posts that makes you think, and she also gives you recommendations of reading, reflections about life, about creative life, about how to be happy, how to help each other, how to think about your existence, how to be a better person. So today, what we're gonna see today?
Today is about Seneca. Seneca on true and false friendship. So he said, ponder for a long time whether you shall admit a given person to your friendship. But when you have decided to admit him, welcome him with all your heart and soul.
Very nice. So, friendship is unnecessary. C.S. Lewis, which was the guy that wrote Chronicles de Narnia, the Narnia Chronicles, he wrote, so friendship is unnecessary, like philosophy, like art, like the universe itself. It has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things which give value to survival. So Darwinian caveats aside, the truth of this beautiful sentiment resonates deeply for anyone whose life has been enriched or even saved by the existence of a genuine friend. And yet today, as we face the commodification of the word friend, commodification is the commercialization, mm-hmm. What do we even mean, or what should we mean by this once sacred term, now vacated of meaning by chronic misuse? Mm-hmm. All right?
So that's what the great first century Roman philosopher Seneca examines in a series of correspondence with his friend Lucilius Jr., later published as Letters from a Stoic, the indispensable trove of wisdom that gave us Seneca's famous letter on overcoming fear and inoculating yourself against misfortune.
Very good. Seneca, one of the biggest Stoic philosophers of all time. So 18 centuries before Emerson wrote in his meditation on the two pillars of friendship that a friend is a person with whom one may be sincere, mm-hmm. Seneca considers the uses and misuses of the term in a magnificent letter titled On True and False Friendship.
If you consider any man a friend whom you do not trust as you trust yourself, you are mightily mistaken, and you do not sufficiently understand what true friendship means. When friendship is settled, you must trust. Before friendship is formed, you must pass judgment. Those persons indeed put last first and confound their duties, who judge a man after they have made him their friend, instead of making him their friend after they have judged him. Ponder for a long time whether you shall admit a given person to your friendship. But when you have decided to admit him, welcome him with all your heart and soul. Speak as boldly with him as with yourself. Regard him as loyal, and you will make him loyal.
All right, so here he's saying that you need to think, you need to, when you meet a person, you need to observe the person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do make your judgment, and then after, it takes time. Mm-hmm. After you made your judgment, you make her your friend.
Yes.
Not the opposite, which is what normally people do. They just get become friends.
Do you think this
and then
is
after they
more
judge.
Common today because of social media? And this encouragement
yes.
to make friends all the time.
Make friends all the time and very
as
superficial.
As fast as you can, very superficially, yes.
Mm-hmm. In another letter titled Philosophy on Philosophy and Friendship, Seneca examines the common basis upon which friendships are formed and admonishes against the tendency, particularly common today, towards seeing others as utilitarian tools
mm-hmm.
that help advance one's personal goals.
Mm-hmm.
Observing that some people form so-called friendship by estimating how much potential friend can help them in a moment of need, he writes,
"He who regards himself only and enters upon friendships for this reason reckons wrongly. The end will be like the beginning. He has made friends with one who might assist him out of bondage. At the first rattle of the chain, such a friend will desert him. These are the so-called fair-weather friendships. One who is chosen for the sake of utility will be satisfactory only so long as he is useful. Hence, prosperous men are blockaded by troops of friends. But those who have failed stand amid vast loneliness, their friends fleeing from their very crisis, which is to test their worth. Hence, also, we notice those many shameful cases of persons who, through fear, desert, or betray. The beginning and the end cannot but harmonize. He who begins to be your friend because it pays will, also sees because it pays. A man will be attracted by some reward offered in exchange for his friendship, if he be attracted by aught in friendship other than friendship itself."
All right, so he's talking here about this kind of friendships done in terms of interest, in material interest, utilitarian.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a friend that is your friend because he is interested on what you have or on a position that
you're
going to get.
These are not friends, these are connections. This is what people do today, right?
Yeah, these are not friends.
A network. A
network
of people is not necessarily a network of friends.
Yes.
These are people you need to do stuff in your life.
The loyalty goes until you are useful.
Yeah.
If you're not useful anymore, you're not...
The connection is... very easily dissolved.
With an eye to such arrangements of convenience and favor, which he condemns, Mr. Seneca condemns as a bargain and not a friendship, Seneca adds, "One who seeks friendship on favorable occasions strips it of all its nobility."
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, so we have here, friends are very few. There is a taxonomy here, or four levels of relationships. So you have platonic relationships. You have very, very close close friends. And then you have kindred spirits, and then persons I know and like, and then acquaintances.
Acquaintances os conhecidos.
Yes.
Yes. So it's like this. Friends are very small for sensate people, intelligent people. We'll have just a few friends. Then you have kindred spirits, people that think like you.
Kindred spirits,
people that think like you.
Mm-hmm.
Persons that I know and like,
mm-hmm.
and acquaintances, which is the majority of people
mm-hmm.
on your network, for
mm-hmm.
example.
In another letter, Seneca cautions against mistaking flattery for friendship, an admonition all the more urgent today, in the age of likes, when the forms of flattery and the channels of positive reinforcement have proliferated to a disorienting degree.
Yes, flattery is when you give compliments to a person just to
manipulate the person.
Yes, yes. Which we call flattery puxa-saquismo. That's what we call. How close, so this is from Seneca, how closely flattery resembles friendship? It not only apes friendship, but outdoes it, passing it in the race with a wide open and indulgent ears. It is welcomed and sinks to the depths of the heart, to the depths of the heart. And it is pleasing precisely wherein it does harm.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. There is a verb here, is to ape. Ape is macaco.
Mm-hmm.
E to ape é macaquear, repetir, imitar.
To copy, to mime.
Yes, interesting.
He turns the beam, Seneca turns the beam of his wisdom toward the only valid and noble reason for forming a friendship. So he says, for what purpose then do I make a man my friend? In order to have someone for whom I may die, whom I may follow into exile, against whose death I may stake my own life and pay the pledge to.
Mm-hmm.
In another letter, Seneca suggests that such genuine friendship extends its rewards beyond the personal realm and becomes the civilizational glue that holds humanity together.
Wow. Friendship, true friendship, this is in Seneca words. Friendship produces between us a partnership in all our interests. There is no such thing as a good or a bad fortune for the individual. We live in common. And no one can live happily who has regards to himself alone and transforms everything into a question of his own utility. You must live for your neighbor if you would live for yourself. This fellowship, maintained with a scrupulous care, which makes us mingle as men with our fellow men, and holds that the human race have rights in common, is also of great help in cherishing the more intimate fellowship which is based on friendship. For he that has much in common with a fellow man will have all things in common with a friend.
Letters from a Stoic remains a timelessly rewarding read.
Very good.
That's the suggestion for the week here.
So, Letters of a Stoic from Seneca. You read a lot about Stoicism, right?
Yes. Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah.
Seneca.
It's a very interesting philosophy of life,
I
right?
I love it, yes.
You go for the essentials.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. And now to end our podcast today, we have the poem of the day. The poem of the day today is by Wendy Hsu. And you can find in the very great site called poetryfoundation.org. It's one of the best sites of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the poem of today is Wendy Hsu. Wendy Hsu was born in China, but she was raised in New York in Iowa, right? She went to the University of Iowa, and she has already published many books. And her poetry was featured in the Best American Poetry 2013 and selected for a Patricia Goldick Prize in Poetry. So.
She frequently uses line breaks as sharp hinges in single stanza, meditative poems that embrace the ephemeral nature of intimacy.
All right. So let's take a look at this poem.
Inventory for Spring by Wendy Hsu. Feeling rich for one moment for using money as a bookmark. Feeling deceitful for making public some opinions while neglecting others. Feeling disordered at the sight of three statues conspiring in a row. Feeling insufficient for having a lukewarm reaction to news. Feeling important for having been offered a seat at a table. Feeling apologetic for nonetheless turning out an argument. Feeling blue for identifying some people who don't respect you. Feeling like a knife slipping into a pool of water for burying disagreement. Feeling redundant for moving in a similar direction as others. Feeling angry for imagining the opening of the passage yet unopened for you. Feeling antisocial for declining further missives from home.
Very nice. Beautiful poem.
Yeah.
All right. So that was our Melhor Seu Inglês podcast da semana. Espero que vocês tenham gostado dessa conversation in English. Espalhe para os seus amigos. Se inscreva no nosso podcast no YouTube e no Internet Archive, que é onde a gente publica todos os Melhor Seu Inglês podcast. Você pode baixar também, tem os links todos no nosso canal do YouTube, a gente também publica lá. Tem o link para você baixar o MP3. E visite lá o nosso canal Eric Newton Inglês por Skype, que é um canal que tem dicas diárias, vídeos diários de inglês.
E quem quiser aulas particulares de inglês por Skype, basta entrar em contato conosco pelo WhatsApp 31992235540 ou 31991437388 ou pela página Eric Newton Inglês por Skype no Facebook.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time.
Bye bye.